B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think Brian Hoyer will be the starter week one. And I say that because the quarterback position is one of the most important for reps under center and seeing defensive looks, looking at coverage, understanding the offense. And Rex says great points about Stidham. Great. But look, they're not practicing right now. There is no mini camp. There's no offseason. There's no training camp. We don't know when that's going to happen. So if you have a veteran quarterback who has been in the system, understands what to expect, what an NFL season is like, you're going to want to go with a guy that has the veteran leadership, also understands what it takes to be in that building. And look, when you're a second-year player, you really don't realize what a season's like as a starter. You don't understand what it's going to take. And not having an off-season does not help. So Brian Hoyer will be the starter week one.
Interesting.
Hour number two, Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings. It's a re-entry Monday. It was brought to you by our friends at East Boston Savings Bank. A couple football items, then we'll get back to your phone. That's one of them. I don't know how much more elaboration that needs. Rob Ninkovich on ESPN, I think on Friday or Saturday, whenever that was, said he thinks it's Brian Hoyer. So it's another voice, another prominent Patriots voice that says, well, as our friend Greg Bedard would say, don't sleep on Brian Hoyer, Maz. And I think I came to this a while ago, weeks ago, maybe with some help from Stu, but I think Brian Hoyer is going to be your week one starting quarterback.
Well, so look, the big thing that works in his favor, and Ninkovich touched on it, is that there isn't going to be really much of a camp, or if there is going to be one, it's going to be restricted. And, you know, so any sort of prior experience you have or experience at all in the system and league and all of that is a huge variable. So that works in his favor. And I don't have a problem with Hoyer starting the year because, again, I think they need to do what's right by Stidham. But this also makes me a little more, you know, if it is Hoyer and they have to use him for more than a couple of games, I still come back to why didn't they sign Andy Dalton? Like, you know, which introduces a different argument. But Mike, if Hoyer's a starter at the beginning of the year, fine. If he's a starter at the middle of the year, that's a problem.
Yeah, if you're telling me he's starting week one because it's default because of the pandemic and they haven't really had time to practice the way that they normally would and get training camp underway that they normally would, I can accept that. But he gets week one and maybe week two, and that's it. And then he sits his ass down because he stinks.
What if Bill thinks he can win with Brian Hoyer?
Well, he's wrong. Then they should change. The Raiders used to have the saying, commitment to excellence. Then the Patriots in 2020 should have the new saying, if Brian Hoyer is under center, commitment to mediocrity.
Okay. So, look, Mike, when you say if he thinks he can win with Hoyer, if he thinks he can win with Hoyer in 2020, but that Stidham is the guy in 2021, okay, I'd be willing to let that one go, ultimately. In other words, you know, Stidham is not ready yet. We needed a stopgap.
Oh, you're coming
around.
We're
keeping Hoyer because we think Hoyer's as good as Andy Dalton, and then Hoyer proves he can win. Fine. Then Bill was right. Bill was right. Hoyer was able to give them what someone like Andy Dalton would have given them, and then Stidham is the guy. But if Hoyer's the quarterback and Stidham is not the heir apparent, and they have to go back into the draft or something of the like, or look for another quarterback, that's a problem.
Ooh, feels like it came around. That's my exact opinion like 3 weeks ago. To me, the quarterback thing will be deemed a success next year when we see if they have to go in for another quarterback or not. If they have to go up high in the draft for a quarterback, fail. Or if they have to sign someone or make a big trade, fail. To me, Stidham doesn't have to play this year to be developed.
I wouldn't sleep on Brian Hoyer.
Attaboy. Attaboy, big boy. And I think Bill can win. Where I really break with you guys, I think Bill can win with Brian Hoyer.
I don't.
But so there's Ninkovich, I just think Ninkovich deserves a little bit more weight in that he's not just analyzing it like us from the outside. He's still, I think, close with a lot of people there and should be tied in and should be hearing things and should be based on his opinion on things that he's hearing. That's why you have Rob Ninkovich up there. So I wonder if that gives it extra weight. So that happened on Friday. This is a re-entry Monday for me. I missed the last couple days last week, so I'm going backwards a little bit. But I just want to get to a couple things. That's one. You can weigh in on that if you want.
I wouldn't sleep on Brian Hoyer.
Thank you, Greg. Number two, the NFL's competition committee have put a rule change in front of the owners this week that's a whopper. That an alternative to the onside kick being 4th and 15 from your own 25, okay? So that's being voted on this week, I guess. And basically what it is instead of going for an onside kick, which has been totally reconfigured for safety reasons in the last couple of years, you can't have, you know, more than a set number of guys lined up to the left or the right. You can't have that big run up. You can't, you know, make a 15, 20 yard head start. For all these reasons, the success rate on onside kicks has gone way, way down. And so the NFL has proposed that instead of doing an onside kick, you can take a 4th and 15 from your own 25. Now, as Pro Football Talk reported over the weekend, there was some confusion about whether you would be allowed to do this, whether you were up or down or late in the game or not. You can do it whenever you want, no matter what the score is, it turns out. Okay? So you don't have to be behind, and it doesn't have to be at the end of the game. You have two chances to do it. You can do it only twice a game, and you can do it at any time. So as has been mentioned, for example, you could even do it when you're leading with 6 seconds left. If you're up 2 points, you just kick a game-winning field goal. There's 6 seconds left on the clock. Instead of kicking off and risking a, you know, Stanford-Cal play, you can take the 4th and 15 from your own 25-yard line and just have your quarterback run around like an idiot for 5 seconds and burn the clock like that. So you can do that as well. Do you like this alternative to the onside kick, Maz? Yes or no?
No.
Why?
Oh, sorry. I thought you were going to ask Murray next. So I don't like it because one of the things I like about the onside kick is the element of surprise. And, you know, being able to do it when you are ahead or coming out at the half. And I go back to the most obvious one, which was the Super Bowl between New Orleans and Indianapolis. The Saints onside kick coming out of the half. No one anticipated it. They recovered it. Ended up being a huge play in the game. They end up winning the Super Bowl. Now, look, you know, there aren't many instances like that. But I do think that the onside kick is, you know, oftentimes at the end of the, you want to tell me in the fourth quarter it's a 4th and 15 play? I still don't love it. Like, I like the variable nature of a kick and the ball bouncing all over the place. Like, to me, it's a little unpredictable there, and I like that. So my answer ultimately is no, because I think it becomes something you can plan for, and I don't like that.
I'm a yes, and Maz, I was with you, because that Saints onside kick to start that second half of that Super Bowl against the Colts is one of the great plays in Super Bowl history. But that was before they watered the game down with rule changes to kickoffs to make the game safer. So now it's almost impossible to recover them. So I'm for this.
Hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it. Get better at the onside kick. Figure it out. Figure it out. What was that game last year? Was it the Falcons that they...
Young Weku had 3-1 game.
Okay, so, you know, figure it out. Evolve. Get better. I'd like to see the rules, and I know this is like, this is, I think we would all like to see, ideally, they go back to the old way on the onside kick, right? That goes without saying. You'd rather have the old onside kick than 4th and 15, Murray?
I would, yes.
Okay, so I think we all would. Like, that's sort of obvious. But can there be some sort of middle ground? Could you allow him to put another guy over there or let him take a little bit of a head start? Can we get these guys to sign some waivers and understand that it's a dangerous sport and get my sport back? You know, I want that onside kick, that possession play, to be a kicking game play. I don't want it to be another offensive play. So
yeah, it used to be kill the man with the ball. Like, that's what it should be.
So, right. I mean, we'll never get that back. So I'm sort of like, you know, I'm braying at the moon there. We'll never get that back, Murray. But is there a middle ground? You know,
could you tweak it somehow? Or like I say, have him sign waivers? Because, again, if you extrapolate those three, I'm sorry to cut you off, that guy had in that Falcons game. I mean, it's got to be less. It was 12.7% that they made last year. That's counting the three. So, Maz, you do the math. Without those three, which seems fluky,
right.
What is it? 6%, 7%?
What about if the ball doesn't have to go 10 yards anymore? What if you make it 7 yards?
Let's figure it out.
Yeah, like something like that. You know, again, 5 yards feels like, okay, the ball only has to go 5 yards. Nobody can run up. In theory, that puts it right in the middle. It's a 50-50 play. Maybe that's too much. So I don't know, make it 6 yards, make it 7 yards. Like, let's figure it out. And then if you run some sort of sample in the preseason and you find that, you know, when you make it 7 yards, the number is akin to what it was before these rule changes, then there you go. You have some sort of solution without, you know, without having guys sprint up to the line and absolutely destroy each other.
This is my point. I just evolve, figure it out, either get kickers, the Young Weku guy, who, that was an unbelievable sequence there where they did a 2 or 3 straight. If you just find someone who can do it.
Man, it's like hitting Powerball.
Come up with a, but figure it out. You know, either evolve or tweak the rules a little bit to give me a little more unpredictability on that play. Don't turn that into an offensive play. Keep it a kicking game play. So I am vehemently against that 4th and 15 rule. Finally, last football item before we go back to your phones, reading Ben Volen in the Sunday Globe about what the NFL is going to look like in its new normal as all these sports try and come back with all their regulations. A couple of things stood out to me. One is that apparently when the NFL comes back in whatever form, there's going to be reduced huddling. Reduced huddling. CDC guidelines for contact tracing state that a close contact is when a person is within 6-foot radius of an infected person for at least 15 minutes. Massachusetts guidelines have the time period at 10 to 15 minutes. So in a 3-hour football game, says Volan, players spend much more time standing in close proximity of teammates than they do with their opponents. Never thought of it that way, but I guess it's true. And the most of that's in the huddle. He say, you know, that the linemen are particularly susceptible because they're up against each other every single play. But if you talk about skill position players, quarterbacks, secondary in the defense, they don't come into that close of contact with other players for that long a period of time, except for the huddle. So they're going to reduce the huddles? That sort of, you know, flies under the heading, Maz. If we can't huddle, then let's not play.
Well, so that's where I feel about this like I did when I heard about all these baseball restrictions. You know, you can't be within so many feet of the runner when he's on base, you know, between pitches. And guys are going to have to change the ball every time more than one player handles the ball. If everybody's being tested and then you can't huddle, what's the point? What's the point? Like, use those rules. You can't even do it in touch football, for crying out loud. Then you're going to tell the linemen to line up and sweat all over each other? It makes no sense. So I sort of look at it and say, if these are the standards, if these are the restrictions, pull the plug on it, and that's it. Like, I find it frustrating.
And I desperately don't want that. And, you know, push comes to shove, I'd say, well, fine, play and don't huddle. But this is ridiculous. If you're going to do the testing and take all the, you know, precautions that you can, and these guys are going to throw themselves into each other at 100 miles an hour for 3 hours on an afternoon, let them huddle, for crying out loud. Let them huddle. For the love of Pete, huddle up. And if you can't huddle, then you can't play, all right? So, Jesus. They also talk about, you know, the big team-wide stretching formations, that they won't be able to do that. They won't be able to stretch together. It's like... If you can't stretch and you can't huddle, then why should you be able to line up against each other in three-point stances and slam yourselves into each other for 3 hours every Sunday afternoon? This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. So, like, that stood out to me. There was just one more thing that actually did make sense that I never thought of, and that's Volan said, no more flu games in any sport. No more flu games.
Right.
Tom Brady, 2003 AFC Championship game at Pittsburgh. Or was that 04? Whatever year that was. The 04 AFC title game at Pittsburgh, where he was running a huge fever. The Michael Jordan game, which was either a hangover or food poisoning or something, or bad gambling debt or whatever the hell it was. You know, he was obviously sick. However he got there is up for debate. But all those great games where we have guys where you're a little sick, your senses get a little heightened, and the next thing you know, you have a great game. It happens in all sports to all players. Those are done because you're taking your temperature when you enter the building. And so that...
And even if the players would still want to try to gut it out and play, the outrage from people wouldn't... It'd be too bad for the teams. They wouldn't want to deal with it.
Okay, but that's one where I have to... You know what? I almost have to say, I think you're right on that one. You know, You're telling me I can't huddle? Like, this is stupid. Like, let's huddle up. And you're telling me we can't stretch together? That's stupid.
What if you're messed up when you stretch?
Or, you know, in baseball, like Maz says, a ball to the gap in left center, and it relayed three times, you have to take the ball out of play? Like, this is getting silly. The guy can't spit out in left field? Like, this is getting stupid.
I mean, again, in the hockey ones, you know, no scrums.
Okay.
And like basketball, shooting free throws, what, when a guy gets two on the first one, you can't line up because you're going to be too close to each other?
So
he shoots the first one in an empty key?
There's a whole raft of regulations that I look at and go, would you give me a break? The flu game, I think they might have a case on that one. You show up with 102-degree temperature.
Oh, that's it. That's done. That's never going to happen again in sports.
And I don't know if I can fight that. I think I got to give in to the doctor on that one. Like, you know, you're right. You can't. I don't want a sick guy showing up work, you know, next to me. I'll huddle up. But if he's sick, like, no. Like, that's the whole point.
Yeah.
If I'm demanding you let me to huddle, then you can't let the guy with 102-degree temperature into the huddle. Like, that makes part. You know what? The flu games are done. That sucks.
At least until a vaccine, anyway.
So that's a thought. Like that. Like that one. I do have to say, okay, you got me on the flu games. All right, those are some football items. Mix that in with our match thoughts to your calls after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Say it.
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Starting today, all the New York professional sports leagues will be able to begin training camps. I believe that sports that can come back without having people in the stadium, without having people in the arena, do it. Do it. Work out the economics if you can. We want you up. We want people to be able to watch sports to the extent people are still staying home. It gives people something to do. It's a return to normalcy. So we are working and encouraging all sports teams to start their training camps as soon as possible, and we'll work with them to make sure that can happen.
Governor Andrew Cuomo in New York. Do it, he says. Do it. Let's go. Andrew Cuomo, New York, the epicenter in the world of the coronavirus, is saying, come on, let's do it. He says, do it. Meanwhile, here in Massachusetts, Charlie Baker, what does he say?
The professional stuff's running through a different channel.
Yeah, it's a different channel. You have to call someone else. Press 3 for the pro to sports department. Meanwhile, the epicenter of the universe of the coronavirus, the governor is saying, do it. Come on. Empty buildings. Come on in. You can play. Let's go. Our guy, press 3. Different
the
department.
Professional stuff's running through a different channel.
Different channel. Different department. They can't even get into practice yet.
On hold for 3 hours.
Oh, my God. So annoying. That was Cuomo.
We'll find a place for you here in the state of Florida.
Oh, Florida, never mind. Like, open season, man.
Play ball.
Arizona, play ball. Here in Massachusetts?
The professional stuff's running through a different channel.
Different department. Press 3. Again, your thoughts on everything here on a re-entry Monday presented by East Boston Savings Bank. Cam and Taunton on the match. Hi, Cam.
Felder, you forgot the best part. On the third hole, Brady hit such a terrible drive. Tiger said, yeah, let's going to find the fairway
on
the
7th
hole.
Yes.
That was awesome. But I think Maz hit it. It was the star power. I mean, Brady and Tiger are probably the two biggest athletes in America post-Jordan. And you have also Mickelson and Manning, who every sports fan knows too. Yes, we were clamoring for sports, but it was the star power of the fact that you had the two greatest athletes of this century almost doing the same thing at the same time.
Agreed. It was great star power, personality. And not that Brady has great, you know, Brady's not a great personality, but he's a compelling sports figure, certainly for us. So, like, that's a sweet spot. It's not the best golfers in the world. That's not going to do it. I mean, I'm telling you, if you put the four best golfers in the world out there, whoever they happen to be, Koepka, Spieth, like these stiffs, with Tiger and Phil, it's not going to be as interesting as it was yesterday. It was the star power, people you care about, and the fact that the two stars were imperfect, and they had to be managed or coached. There was real strategy, I thought, in that thing, and I think that was a sweet spot, and hopefully they realize it. And that if they have another match like that, they're bringing in two people of that ilk. And they don't have to be football players. They don't have to be athletes. But if they're famous movie stars who can golf, like that would, I think, you know, roughly equate. Or musicians. You know, who Nugent could play, right? Ted Nugent was a stick, right?
Oh, yeah.
Who else, are there any other musicians that can play? But, I mean, so it would be something like that.
Sure.
That... But they got to be able.
Oh, Alice Cooper.
Oh, Cooper. No, yeah. That's who I meant to say. Okay. Yeah, Alice Cooper's who I meant, not Ted Nugent. Alice Cooper is a stick, and I don't know if people care about him anymore. But it would have to be that. Just bringing good golfers doesn't do it for me, anyway.
No, because like they got to be bad enough that there's some unpredictability to it. You know, you got to be able to stand over a chip and completely chunk it or blast it 20 feet past the, you know, off the other side of the green has to be every bit the chance of that of hitting it close.
Adam and Lowell on Hoyer starting the season. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, guys, watching Hoyer quarterback the Patriots would be, well, just simply a labor because he blows. And on top of that, the only good thing about him playing the whole season, getting a high draft pick, would be ruined by Belichick because he'd take a nose tackle out of Rutgers or he'd trade a top 10 pick for like a second, a fourth, and a sixth. And all the bobos in the media would be like, Belichick, what a genius. In fact, he sucks at GM. Thanks, guys.
Okay, so little did you know that the plan is actually to win games with Brian Hoyer. That's the plan. It's not to suck for Trevor Lawrence. It's not to tank the season. It is to actually win games with Brian Hoyer because while they like Jared Stidham, they feel he may not quite be ready, especially with an offseason that you don't really get much on-field work, that they can't develop Stidham in the offseason with Zoom. But I think even before the pandemic, Bill might have had it in his mind that he could win with Brian Hoyer. That's just how I feel about that. Rick in the car on the NFL rules. Go ahead, Rick.
Hi. So I just had a quick question about the no huddle thing. I'm going to find it very curious with if there's no fans in the stands and they're not allowing huddles, what's going to happen? Is it going to be a no-huddle offense constantly? Are they going to be screaming the plays, whispering, walking down up and down the front line? I mean, I'm just curious what you guys got to say. Thanks.
Right. To me, it's just not feasible. For all these sports, they've come out with regulations for all of them and, you know, guidelines and such. And some of them just don't. They just, to me, they don't feel like it's realistic. It's they fall under the category of, well, if we can't do that, then we really can't play. Maz mentioned in hockey, there was a whole raft of them by this one doctor. No scrums. You have to keep 3 feet of social distance on faceoffs. You know, like all this stuff. It's like, dude, if you can't scrum in front of the net in the Stanley Cup playoffs, you can't have the Stanley Cup playoffs. Sorry.
Right. What's the point? Like, the whole idea is that, because, again, now you're taking away from the competitiveness. It's like the whole thing to me, football and hockey, they're contact sports. They're contact sports, and you're telling me you can't huddle? Like, that to me blows my mind. I hear that one and say, wait a minute. If you're concerned about the players huddling up, then you should really prevent anybody from playing. Because they're going to be slobbering all over each other in the pile. What are they going to do the first time someone tries to bite someone at the bottom of a fumble pile?
And Volan writes, even practices may have minimal full team work. Full team stretching doesn't make much sense, as I mentioned earlier. Well, if you can't stretch... In UFC, they're rolling around on a mat bleeding into each other. And you can't stretch out next to some guy on an open air field? Like that stuff gets silly. It just gets silly. The no flu games, again, I think they have a point there. How about this one? Face coverings on the field for coaches, Volan writes, and the quoting some expert. I'd be surprised if the NFL didn't find a way to make everyone wear a clear shield face mask, so that's on the field. It doesn't do everything it's supposed to do, but it's better than nothing. And even though everyone will be tested frequently and most games will be played outdoors where the threat of transmitting the virus is less, coaches should still be expected to wear face masks on the sidelines during practices and games. And he quotes his expert, Bill Belichick's going to like it because it gets rid of all the lip readers.
He's got it backwards. Belichick will hate it because they're the ones who are stealing the signs. They're not worried about anybody getting theirs. Belichick's the one who's going to have Ernie Adams up there with the binoculars trying to lip read, for crying out loud. The Patriots will be pissed. In fact, if they put that one in, 5-11.
How about Belichick with a face mask there, Murray?
I just have to, what the next play, and can anyone understand me? This GD mask, I'm so sick of wearing these things. K95 doesn't even keep me safe anyway. I don't know.
You think he's going to comply with that? He won't know part of it.
I can't see it. More your calls on a reentry Monday after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Right back to your phones. As promised, Tony and Stoneham on the match on Sunday. Do you like it, Tony?
I love the match. And Manning was a better golfer, I thought, in that match, although Brady came around in the second half. But I want to go to football for a second. I was looking at something the other day. What is your all's opinion of this? Did Brady and Belichick benefit by playing in the worst division in football beside the Patriots? Those other teams, the Patriots were never 500 against any of those teams in the 20 years Brady played with the Patriots.
They benefited hugely.
Of course it did.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so now you wonder, you know, he's in a little tougher division now. Is he going to do any better or is good? I personally think they're going to be fighting for the Super Bowl this year.
So they being the Patriots or the Buccaneers?
No, the Buccaneers by far. And now a bet on lunch. You might be buying me lunch by Thanksgiving. I looked at the schedule. They might lose 9 games by Thanksgiving.
Okay, the Patriots might lose 9 games.
Careful where you say. You know, the AFC East was bad, though, Tony. I mean, that's you'll get kicked out of New England if certain people hear that.
Third rail.
Yeah. It is a third rail. Third absolutely. Rail.
It's okay. It's okay. You were the greatest team ever, and you played in a bad division. It's okay.
Well, the numbers show. Oh, God. That might be the one that's the most stupid.
Who is the second best quarterback in the 20 years here in the AFC East?
Chad Pennington.
Okay, enough said. Enough said. You never had a real quarterback. Never in 20?
Like 20 years ago.
Years! Two straight decades. Two decades with three teams to get
that
one
amazing?
To get one real quarterback, and you never had one. There wasn't a single real quarterback in 20 years in your division. I you can take the numbers and shove them up your ass. I don't. That fact is not. That's
no, that exercise is the best. You go through the quarterbacks and the coaches, but the numbers show. Oh, shut up.
So seriously, do the math, guys. You said Murray, quarterbacks and coaches. What are the odds of that? That you wouldn't have one other good one in the division over a 20-year period.
The dynasty you're closest to, or is closest to you now, is the Niners. And they had something similar. That old NFC West blew. I've talked about this a lot. That was a horrible division. And so what happened year after year after year is that the Niners, like you, instead of just being a playoff team or a good team, suddenly are winning divisions and getting playoff buys. And now you've got one game and you're in the conference title game. And so that all adds up. It's okay. It doesn't diminish what you are. It doesn't diminish what the Niners were. But it helps to be in that kind of division that no one can figure it out over two straight decades. Kenny on the Cape, go ahead on the quarterback of the Patriots. Go ahead.
Oh, I just don't know why you're putting so much stock into what Ninkovich has to say. He played with Hoyer, and it just makes more sense if he defers to Hoyer. And on the CDC guidelines, some of those things are so jacked up that you can't take them seriously. Thanks, guys. I'm out.
Okay, so I hope I can't take it seriously that they can't huddle or stretch. Like, I mean, that's, or a baseball player can't spit out in left field. I mean, a couple of things I'm with, like they should be able to be spitting, you know, their guts out in the dugout where everyone's walking around and like that, I get. But out in left field, the guy can't spit out some sunflower seeds. That's ridiculous. Or in football, you can't huddle. Ridiculous. So I hope you're right about their overshooting just to appease the scientists. The first thing about Ninkovich and Hoyer, it's a good point, except what if Ninkovich has talked to Hoyer? And what if Hoyer has told him, you know, Rob, I'm the guy. I mean, that's sort of my point, that Ninkovich is still tied in with guys on the team. He's not just saying that to pump up his buddy, that he's talked to his buddy. That's what I wonder.
I just think with Ninkovich, there's some intimate knowledge here, even if it's just of how Bill operates, right? He's got a great understanding as to how Bill operates. And so if he's got some sort of instinct that tells him one thing over another, fine. I mean, I don't think he's serving some personal loyalty either by, you know, doing it intentionally or by accident or what. I think it's got more to do with he understands how the operation works and understands the people or knows them and has some sort of info or instinct.
David in New Bedford waiting patiently on the return of the
NBA. Yes, I was wondering what you thought.
On the return of the NBA, I said. David, go ahead.
I'm here. Yes, I was wondering what your thoughts are on the proposal for a 16-team playoff format.
Okay, David, thanks for the call and the question. I love it. I love the idea. So in case you're not, you don't know what he's talking about, Adam Silver and the NBA has wanted for years to seed the NBA playoffs 1 through 16 and eliminate East Conference, West Conference. Just make it all 1 to 16, taking out any conference alignment. So the first round matchup could easily be Celtics-Lakers. It could be Clippers-Knicks, whatever. And that could happen at any point in the playoffs. And they're saying now it will be an easy way to sample this because they're all going to be in one location, Disney World. And so there's no travel. The reason you wouldn't go 1 to 16 on a normal year is because you don't want New York playing L.A. in the first and second round and traipsing all the way across the country. But if you're all in one location, then there's the excuse to do it. Do you like 1 to 16?
Yeah, I don't necessarily hate it.
I like the East-West thing as a rule. I think there's something to that, you know, that finally the East plays the West. And, you know, some conferences are better some years, some are better the others. But the whole idea of using this thing to try something new, I'm all for it. So, you know, if you want to tell me that this is the year to try it and see what it looks like, then I'm not going to argue with that. I also wonder, Mike, and we touched a little bit on this at the end of the week last week, if the leagues are starting to look at some of these formats, obviously money is at the top of the list. But I also wonder if they're concerned about some players not coming back. And that, you know, you're just going to have a different sort of talent pool in some of these leagues than you normally would. And so they're going to end up shaking it up because the championships or the playoffs are going to be tainted by definition.
Well, the 1 to 16 is so NBA, it's not even funny. And you know what it's about. You know what it's all about? The finals. It's all about the finals. All about the finals.
Getting the two best teams in the finals.
That's all the NBA cares about.
Right.
They want Magic and Larry in the finals every year. That's what they want. And if Magic and Larry are in the same conference, then they're porked. And so you've gotten this a little bit over the years where you've had who the hell played the Orlando Magic that one year in the finals?
Houston.
Was it Houston? So, I mean, whatever. Where you get, you know, the marquee matchup in the NBA this year would be Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James. But they're both in the same conference, and you're sort of wasting that if that happens in the second or the third round versus the finals.
I think it was San Antonio that year, but go ahead.
Maybe it was San Antonio or whatever. Like every once in a while, there's this, you know, the Celtics in the 80s playing the Rockets those years in the finals were a waste. You would have much rather had if the second best team was Philly. You know, that's a much more compelling NBA final. Julius Erving and Larry Bird in the NBA finals as opposed to you versus Houston. Those were a waste, and that's just going way back to give you another example. But the NBA wants the finals is that's what the NBA is the best at, is that they engineer the thing so the two best players are usually there at the end, and when they're not, it's a huge letdown.
Well, they could be playing with fire here, though, because based on it, if this thing went 1 to 16, what the current matchup would be for the Lakers is the Nets. And are you telling me Durant and Kyrie are back? So that now, what would look like a cakewalk is now a more difficult series for them, and it's number two Lakers against the 15 Nets.
And if it's 1 to 16, if I'm not mistaken, the Celtics road, if it all went according to Hoyle, would be... You still get Philly in the first round.
Correct, yeah.
You know, interestingly enough.
Whether yes, that's right.
You're just playing off in the East or it's 1 to 16.
To win.
It's Philly in the first. Then I think you get the Lakers. Then the Bucks. No. It's something like Philly, Clippers, Lakers, Bucks would be the four teams you'd have to face. And
yeah.
Not necessarily in that order. That would be the road. Why are you smirking, Miss?
Because they get their asses kicked. If they get out of the first round, they get blown up in the second. Yeah, that's a loss. I mean, that's it. They'll get destroyed. I mean, look, the 1 to 16 thing, I get it on the part of the NBA. You know, it makes sense that in a case like this, as you pointed out, you'd get Lakers, Clippers in the final. And, you know, that would be sexy for the league. That'd be fun in a lot of ways. I do like the East-West thing. I think there's always something to be said for that. And just to close the loop on it, it was the Lakers who played Orlando that year.
Okay, so which is a waste for the NBA.
Complete waste of time.
Complete waste of time.
It was a five-game series. They destroyed them.
Whatever the second-best team in the West was would have been a better compelling matchup. So if you can rank them 1 to 16, you eliminate that middler from the other conference that sneaks in. It's a better odds of getting the two best teams. And again, if they go 1 to 16, the Celtics road would be the Sixers, Clippers, Bucks, Lakers. That's a tough thing. But without home road, I don't know. So there's your thought on the NBA. The NHL latest, again, there's a big announcement coming up here in about 45 minutes. We'll give you some thoughts on it right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass. It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
A key thing I think for everyone to understand is that, look, I mean, we expect Las Vegas, for example, to be one of the hub cities, but you know, there's no advantage at this point in time to the NHL coming out and saying that. I mean, because as Elliot's pointing out, even in a matter of 6 weeks or 8 weeks, things can change, you know, with the way the virus spreads or maybe the situation on the ground there. And so, you know, I think the league has tried to leave its options open. There's been a number of cities that have shown interest. I think that the league's done its due diligence and has an idea where it would like to go. And look, it's still waiting to find out if one of the places it can play is one of these Canadian cities that's under consideration, depending on where travel restrictions are. I think that the next...
Second half to that cut. Right. I was just talking to Jimmy off the air. I mentioned it started there. That was my bad. If you still have it, they go on from here. This is Chris Johnson and Elliot Freeman talking about the NHL coming back as they voted to approve the 2014 playoff format, I think last Friday. That got confusing. Or it was up to the NHLPA to ratify it. And then there were conflicting reports that they did ratify it or didn't ratify it or just push it on for more negotiation. It got a little confusing, but for the most part, they ratified it. And turns out only two teams voted against it. So I'll get to that in a second. But this is one thing that was about to annoy me. Again, Chris Johnson, Elliot Freeman on Sportsnet over the weekend talking about this.
Sort of thing we're looking for from the league is maybe an announcement on this playoff format, but also, you know, when the facilities will start to open and they can move to phase two of their return to play format. We know that the NBA team just started to do that. And I would think at some point here in the relatively near future, we're going to see that happen at the NHL teams.
You know, Faisal, there was a story tonight in the NBA by Adrian Wojnarowski and that some of the teams in Toronto was one of them that are like have stricter situations are looking at, can we avoid our players from having to do two quarantines and maybe go right to the hub? Yeah. And I'll tell you this, that will be a I believe that if it happens in one league, it's been just talked about in another league.
Yeah.
And I do think, and I think Chris talked about this the other day, if you're somewhere where you have to cross maybe the border twice, or you're going to have to do a 14-day quarantine before you do anything, I really wonder how players are going to feel about that.
Okay, so that business about the 14-day quarantine and the borders not being open. And so that was said, I think, on Saturday. Subsequently, in the last couple of days, I think the Homeland Security Director here in the U.S., said they're not going to hold up players at the border going from Canada to the U.S. and
correct any of the countries that these players could be from.
Okay, thank you.
Right.
Like, this is another one that I would put in the category of the no spitting and no huddling and can't stretch out. Like, can we not get hung up on the Canadian-U.S. border thing for crying out loud? If Patrice Bergeron is traveling back from Quebec to report to Boston here to start practicing, he don't make him stay at home for 14 effing days. Figure that out. First of all, let him cross the border. Right? There was some talk about, you know, they're not going to open the border for the... Like, I don't want to spend any time on that. I don't want anyone spending any time on that. Figure that part out, for crying out loud. If the president of the United States is going to be on this kick, which he has for about 6 weeks now, 8 weeks, talking about opening up sports and getting sports back onto the field. I mean, Trump has been at this from the second week of the pandemic, for crying out loud. We're working with these commissioners to get these sports back on the field, and it's a big initiative of his. Then we can't have the borders closed and these fakakta, you know, quarantine periods for guys coming from one part of the country to the other. You've got to figure that out. So that thing just hearing it frustrates me. It's like, come on, if it's going to be an initiative and it's going to be a priority of yours and ours, then let's figure this part out. And not every guy coming over a state line or Canada-US has to quarantine for 14 days.
I mean, to me, that one is always among the most fixable things, because all that takes is government cooperation. And I say it like, you know, with someone asking for a cup of sugar from the neighbor, for crying out loud. So, you know, with governments in this day and age, you never know, I suppose. But that one really should not be that tough.
I also found this interesting. You know, so phase two, meaning that the players are going to start being able to. I don't know about here, because, again, if you call Charlie Baker and ask him if we can open up the Warrior Ice.
The professional stuff's running through a different channel.
Yeah, press four for pro sports. Press three for everything else. We don't know here. But
press five for Florida.
We'll find a place for you here in the state of Florida.
But here you got to call someone else. But presumably, if Charlie will let them open up the rank, they can start doing it starting early next week. Phase two, 5-6 guys getting together to skate together at one time. Apparently, players from other NHL cities will be permitted to work out in the NHL facilities where they reside. So players do not have to cross a state line or a border to quarantine, or like they're worried about all this stuff. So I guess that what that means is that if there are Pittsburgh Penguins or Philadelphia Flyers from Boston who are living here in Boston right now and quarantining and staying in Boston, they get to go skate with Bergeron and Chara and Rask over at Warrior. That's what they're saying, right?
I think so.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
It's like, would you give me a break with this? They don't have to. They're not scaling the Berlin Wall. Let the guy go back to his home state and home city where his team plays, and let him skate on that ice. Like, come on. Like, that's one that, again, gets me a little bit.
Well, and again, that should be an easy one to solve, right? It's like, come on, you know, really, what are we doing here? So, look, you know, if you wanted to tell me during the individual workouts at the beginning, it's easier for some of those guys to stay put where they are, and there's no team stuff going on there. It's all conditioning or whatever, and it's done with six guys in the rink at one time or something, then fine, I suppose. But eventually, you're going to get to a team phase, and it's sort of, you look at it and say, what are we doing here? Either this can happen, and they can get there and you know, just jump into activities with their team or not. Like, I do think some of the logistics with this is, and on multiple levels, they're getting ridiculous.
I mean, seriously. So we have Tampa Bay Lightning here skating around with Bergeron? Or Toronto Maple Leafs who live in Boston? No. Send them home and let them go over the border. Let them go cross state lines and then go skate with their team. I'm skating with our team. That's just, no, I'm not into that. And I know they do that anyway in the off seasons. Like, that I accept. In the off seasons, there's group skates and there's guys from different teams. Like, I get that part of it. But if they're coming back to gear up for the playoffs, no.
No, they're legitimately going to be practicing. You could pick up on tendencies or, you know, what they.
I just don't want them in the battle. I don't want P.K. Subban in the building. Yeah. Go home.
Right.
Go to your team.
And I'll tell you another one. Like, let's just say, using the example you gave, and I don't know whether Bergeron's here or whether he's in Canada right now. My guess is Bergeron's here.
I don't want him skating with the Canadians.
Let's just say he's in Montreal. Okay, and he starts skating with the Canadians, and one of them gets sick and infects him.
I don't get sick by some filthy Canadian.
But then think of what the can of worms that opens up. So Bergeron's working out with the Canadians, presumably because it's safer. Then he gets sick up there and he can't play?
So come on. Like, this is an overthink the thing. Let him over the Canadian border. Let him over the state line. Charlie, pick up the phone and open up the rink now. It's okay. It's okay. Even Danny Ainge said on Friday, like, it's not that complicated. I agree. Open up the gym. Let them start shooting around and skating around, for crying out loud. I have some follow-up thoughts quickly on the Bruins as well, and this this return to play format, which I guess is going to be finalized at 4:30. We're going to get an announcement. We'll keep you updated on that. We'll pick up on this real quick after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.